Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News. We're on this podcast channel. I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls. Today on episode 48.
I have friends who are in creative industries, friends who are founders in completely different areas, and I love catching up with them and having conversations with them because even though what they're doing day to day might be significantly different than what I'm doing, there's a lot of overlap, and hearing about the way someone else works or the things that they're facing, the challenges that they're working on, provides a lot of perspective often, at least for me, and the things that I'm working on as well, and gives me a new way of looking at things, a new way of approaching problems. And a lot of times there are just a lot of analogies that I didn't expect. So I love having friends and other founders in my network that do something very similar to myself, but I also am really grateful to have people in my circle that are completely different from myself that I can learn from. So I think at the end of the day, everyone has something that you can learn from them, and seeking those people out and seeking meaningful conversation is always going to be worth your time.
Today on episode 48, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Nicole Alonso. As a co-founder and CTO at Syro, a company that was founded when she was in college, it's a cross-section between her interests in economics and computer science, a powerful secret management platform designed to streamline a team's workflows and keep sensitive information secure. Built by Nicole, she has been able to cultivate her interests and co-found this company when she was a sophomore in college, right before the pandemic. And now, as an inspiring role model, she is here today. So thank you so much, Nicole, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here today and appreciate the introduction. A bit of background on myself. I was really interested in neuroscience when I was in high school. For quite a while, I thought that I wanted to go to medical school and become a neurosurgeon. So I spent my summers in high school working at different medical facilities, doing medical billing so I could get some experience in that ecosystem. I took one computer science class my senior year of high school and was applying to a number of STEM scholarships upon getting into college. I applied for one with Google and ended up not getting the scholarship, but I got invited to their Computer Science Summer Institute, which was a four-week program where I learned how to code, and that changed the trajectory of my career. I realized I really loved the feeling of building something from the ground up and the way that computer science enabled me to do that. So upon going to Claremont McKenna College in the fall, I decided that I wanted to switch my major from neuroscience to economics and computer science, which I began studying in college. I was trying to figure out what career path I wanted to pursue. And in my mind, there was this dichotomy where I either had to become a software engineer at a big tech company or go into investment banking. That's a lot of what I saw my peers doing. And it was my sophomore year of college when I was speaking with a friend who mentioned the world of fintech and how it combined a lot of my interests and suggested that I looked into the space a bit. That same year of college, the pandemic had hit. I wanted to get more involved on campus and meet new people, even though school was remote. So I decided to join a club on campus called the Student Investment Fund, which allows students to invest $3.5 million of the college's endowment into publicly traded companies. Throughout that interview process, I spoke to my interests in fintech and the companies that I saw in that space doing really impactful work. And my now co-founder, Liam, happened to be my interviewer. He was working on a fintech idea at the time, told me a bit about it, and asked if I wanted to help build the initial MVP. I really wanted more experience building things from the ground up, so I decided to help him out. And what began as just me following my interests turned into something much bigger. Never expected for it to be where it is today, but worked on it throughout that year when the pandemic had hit. I took a lot of my classes asynchronously, which gave me a lot of flexibility to spend time working on Syro. And the initial goal was to enable instant global business-to-business invoicing and payments, which we were doing so by leveraging stablecoins. After my sophomore year, I decided to take one semester off to see what would happen. And within that semester, we ended up raising a seed round. We launched the platform, had customers, And it was pretty game changing for my career. I never expected that to happen, but have not gone back to school since. We've had some incredible employees join our team and actually made the decision back in December to pivot away from what we were initially working on for the last 2 years and start working on secrets management. So as you mentioned in the introduction, we're now building a secrets management platform to help with the transmission layer of secrets from API first companies to their customers or from companies to their engineers, making it really easy to provide access to secrets, revoke access when necessary, have really robust audit logs for all the changes that are being made, and help companies out with their security and DevOps processes that are quite manual still, like things like key rotation.
Yeah, that's super, super cool. I really liked how, although you had a plan set in stone of you going into neuroscience, once you felt that, oh, you wanted to do something else, you had the courage to just push through and find something else that you really enjoyed, whether it be through changing your major or just helping start a project.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, I actually dropped out of college to work on Syro full time. So unlike a lot of other founders, I don't have a more traditional background, which made starting a company really interesting. I remember when we first hired our now employees, I had never even been through an interview process for a full-time job, let alone ran one to hire people. So it was a very interesting position that I was thrown into. I didn't have the traditional credentials and I didn't know how that would impact being able to fundraise, being able to hire. I had never even had an internship, let alone a full-time job, let alone managing people. So it was almost like I took this leapfrog ahead in my career and ended up at a spot where I wouldn't have been for many years post-graduation. And I'm so blessed to have had that experience and to have people that trusted me with that responsibility. It's helped me grow so much. And in everything that we do, I've tried to be really intentional about recognizing the things that I don't know and trying to learn them very quickly. So my career path really went from college student to co-founder and CTO way quicker than I ever anticipated in my career. But I'm very thankful to be in the position where I am now at such a young age.
Yeah, that's super cool. I mean, as you said before, if you didn't, you know, take that leap of faith, then, you know, might have been a bunch of years till you're going to be in the position that you are right now, but you took that and now here you are, really successful.
Here I am. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? And do you have any tips to succeed?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great questions. The first thing that always comes to mind and the piece of advice that I give anyone and everyone, no matter what they're looking to do, is to lean into your intellectual curiosity. I feel very strongly that if you follow where your genuine intellectual curiosity leads you in life, you'll have such a better foundation than trying to chase something that makes money or something that seems impressive. Because at the end of the day, following the things that you're passionate about will lead to you wanting to work on them and grow. And that growth will help you become successful no matter what field it is. And so when I have students or peers ask me for advice, that's the first thing that I say. And your intellectual curiosity doesn't have to be, oh, I'm really interested in computer science, I want to learn JavaScript. It can be as simple as walking around a city and wondering how a building has been built and looking it up. And that's something that I try to do in my day-to-day as well, just following my intellectual curiosity, whether it pertains to work or not. Because at the end of the day, you'll end up learning some really interesting things and figuring out what you're passionate about and what you're not, which would lead me to my second piece of advice, which is becoming as self-aware as possible. I think especially if you want to start a company, self-awareness is really important for a number of reasons. One, when you start a company, you suddenly are in the strange position where you don't have a boss. You are your own boss, which can be great. But because of that position that you're in, you're not receiving feedback in the same way you would if you were working at a bigger company. You don't have a manager who's doing performance reviews or things of that nature. So I think it's really important to be self-critical and self-aware to figure out what are things that you're good at, what are things you're not good at and should be delegated, what are areas of improvement. I think it's really critical ultimately to recognize where your expertise lies and where it doesn't. And that's something I've tried my best to become good at, but ultimately there are still gaps in that self-awareness, which is where I think it's also important to make sure that you're always soliciting feedback from whoever it is that you're working with and fostering an environment where your employees or your peers feel really comfortable giving you that honest feedback. And then the last thing I'd say is to shamelessly ask for help. That's something that my co-founder and I did a lot of in the early days and still do. I think in college, I was under the perception that to be successful or to be a great student, I shouldn't be asking for help or I shouldn't be going to office hours. And looking back, that's one of the biggest mistakes I probably made. As soon as we started working on Syro, I initially had no idea what cryptocurrency even was. So I was playing this game of catch up where I was trying to figure out what cryptocurrency was, build in the space, and sell a product. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I didn't ask for a lot of help. In the early days, I called some of the engineers at Celo, the blockchain that we were building on top of, and asked them questions about their white papers. And their answers to those questions helped me learn something in 30 minutes that would have taken me hours or maybe even a week to learn on my own. So that's something that I think has really helped propel my own learning, and something that I think is really important as a founder is getting good at shamelessly asking for help, whether it be from investors, other founders in your network, your employees. That's one of your greatest assets, is the network that you build, and how you use it depends on how apt you are to ask questions.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that you said really resonated with me, because your intellectual curiosity doesn't have to be in the form of, oh, I want to, as you said before, learn computer science. I mean, not everyone's interest is in that, but it doesn't have to be in something so broad or academic like that. It could be taking a walk, learning how something was built, figuring out the history behind something, or something that just kickstarts a moment where you're genuinely piqued into something. And just after doing it, you get to learn about what it was. And it doesn't just always have to be in the form of, oh, I want to go into a field. And the last thing that you said about always asking for help, even if you might think that's pretty stupid, I guarantee you it's not dumb. I mean, there's so many different things that can benefit from something that if you ask for. So just knowing that it's okay to ask for help, because you can get so much more advice and tips than you would have if you were alone.
Absolutely. I agree completely.
Yeah. And what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
That's a really great question. I think I often see a lot of professionals in their career think that they have to accomplish certain milestones to be taken seriously as a founder or to be successful, which thankfully is not the case, or I wouldn't be where I am right now. I'm very fortunate that I entered the startup world knowing nothing about it. I truly had no idea what a startup was, what venture capital was. And because I was so naive, I think I went into it with this fearlessness where I didn't even recognize how the position I was in might be something that's not the standard in the space. You know, you hear the stories of famous tech entrepreneurs dropping out of college and starting companies really young, but in reality, that's not the case. And I think in the conversations that I've had with a lot of founders or professionals that want to be founders is that they feel like they have to accomplish these certain milestones in their career, whether it be working their way up at a large tech company to gain the credentials that they think are necessary to build a stellar team or to raise from a great group of investors. And I think that's just not the case and is something that I want to debunk. And I wish more people knew. And I think something that I've realized is that, you know, inspiration comes in a moment and you should act on it in that moment. So I always tell people if they have an idea that they're thinking about and that they want to work on, there's no time to work on it like the present. There's no need to wait to accomplish certain milestones, to have certain professional accolades. You can truly start something at any time. I think it's most important to start it when you have that inspiration and act upon it. So that's something that I want to debunk and encourage anyone who's thinking about an idea, no matter how big, how small, what age they are, you are fully capable. You're probably 10x more capable than you think, actually.
Yeah, I mean, when you go into fields like these, there's like a bunch of stigmas that, oh, you have to be at a certain place, or, you know, the one in a million stories where, you know, you get really lucky and something big happens. But that's generally not the case. It's like a one in a million type of story. So just knowing that you're able to do it, you know, if you just push through that type of fear that you have and just try to get into the waters, then you'll be able to swim and you can finally do the things that you've always wanted, because I bet you nobody else has the idea that you have, and you can actually make a pretty cool thing out of your interest.
Absolutely.
And if you could step into my shoes or younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
That's a really great question. And I think this ties into my previous answer about following your passions and your intellectual curiosity. I wish I spent more time asking myself what were things that I spent time doing where I lost track of time. I think that's a really easy way to measure the things that you enjoy doing. You know, what are the things that you do that you'd rather be doing than going out with your friends? What are the things that you say you're going to do for an hour and end up spending 5 hours on and really enjoying? And that's something I wish I asked myself sooner, because I think it would have helped me identify what my interests were, where my passions lay. And I think I tended to ignore those things when I was younger. And the older I've gotten now, the more I realize that that feeling is rare. So the earlier that you can realize it in your career, I think the better. And I think the other thing that I would have asked myself is why I was so opposed to feedback. I think when I was younger, I took all feedback as criticism. It was very hard on myself. And I still am, but in a different way. I've now realized that feedback and criticism are so key to growth. And I wish I was more receptive to that when I was younger and viewed it as a tool to help me succeed, to help me learn, and a sign that people wanted to help me in my growth, as opposed to people trying to put me down by, you know, criticizing me on something that I could do better. So really now I look at any form of criticism as a huge opportunity and feel incredibly thankful when someone has the courage to say something that probably is harder for them to say than for you to hear at times.
I mean, as someone who's a student and has been a student for some time, I'm also someone who's pretty hard on myself. And whenever I hear some type of feedback, I automatically think it's something bad. And sometimes it is. And I get a little stubborn and I don't really listen to it. I put myself on a higher platform. You know, I mean, I guess that's typical student behavior, but just knowing that even though it might be bad, I mean, sometimes it always doesn't have to be bad, but if it is, that can actually lead to some growth that you wouldn't have initially thought of, because it's coming from a different perspective, and being more open to that and more receptive can really help you grow and succeed to become a better person than what you initially thought you were.
Definitely.
Yeah. And what are the best resources / books that have helped you find your career path?
Great question. I'll start with the people in my life that have influenced my career. I think, as I mentioned before, your network is one of your greatest assets. And that doesn't mean that you have to know a ton of CEOs or CTOs to learn from. It's more about looking at your life and the people who are in it and seeing who supports you and whose advice really resonates with you. And my father has always been that person for me. He runs his own company, and having a family member to turn to and ask questions to, knowing that he's been in similar shoes before, even if it's in a different industry, has helped me learn lessons exponentially quicker than I would have otherwise. It's helped me learn from his mistakes instead of making my own. And that's something I'm really thankful for. And seeing the way that our relationship has influenced my ability to make decisions and my ability to grow really quickly in my career has also pushed me to seek that out in other forms as well, whether it be speaking with our investors or other founders that I'm friends with and opening up to them. I think it's really important to realize that it can feel pretty lonely as a founder, but that's when it's most important to turn to the people who've been in your shoes before and ask them for advice, because chances are they felt the exact same way. And there are this niche group of people that know exactly what you're feeling. So that's the first thing that I'd say, is that I've learned so much from all of the people that I've met throughout my short career. So I can't wait to see how the people I meet in the future will influence my career as well. And then the second thing I would say is that I've always been a very avid reader. When I was younger, it was a passion of mine that I kind of took for granted. I didn't really think anything important would come of it. And now I think it's been one of my biggest tools and to help me grow and learn. And it's something that I'm really thankful I enjoy doing. I average about 40 books a year, and a lot of those tend to be related to personal development or career development. So whenever there's a topic that I know nothing about, before I turn to industry experts, I'll read a few books about it so I can have a general understanding of what the topic is, and then help better inform the questions that I'm going to ask to experts in that space. And some of the ones I've really enjoyed, there's one called The Almanac of Naval Ravikant, who started AngelList, which is a website for startups, angel investors, and job seekers. And it's a culmination of important and impactful wisdom that he's mentioned either on Twitter, in podcasts, news articles, etc. And not only does it have practical business advice, but also advice on happiness, wealth, personal development. It's been a book that's really impactful to me, and I've read it a couple of times now. And then the second book that I'd mention, and this is one that my executive coach recommended to me, is called Range: Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World. I was going through this period of imposter syndrome where I felt like I wasn't meant to be in the role I was in because I don't have really specialized deep knowledge. I remember this moment pretty vividly, actually. I was about to speak on a panel to a group of engineers who had PhDs in computer science and had this moment of questioning who I was to be speaking in front of them. You know, I don't have the same depth of knowledge as they do in the field that I am running at our organization. So I had this terrible imposter syndrome and spoke to my executive coach about it. And she recommended this book. And it was tremendously helpful. And the premise of it is basically that, especially in roles like being a founder, having generalist skills and being able to pick up on new skill sets really quickly can be your biggest asset if you let it. You don't need to have this deep specialized knowledge to be super successful in your field. And that's something that made me more confident in the skill set that I had and recognize that having general knowledge is a skill set in its own.
That's so impressive. 40 books in a year. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
My jaw basically dropped when you said that because my average is much lower, but yeah. Before you actually turn to other people, you look at books and other articles for resources. And then, as you said before, your dad is also another co-founder who has been in your shoes. So turning to people who've actually done it before you and getting their stories and guidance can also help. And that also kind of leads back to the networking and the connections, because if you don't have the suitable connections for you, then most likely you won't be able to rely on them. Your support system is not going to be the greatest in what you're trying to do, and you just won't be able to get the true advice that you would normally get from those around you. So just knowing that the connections are a big thing that can help you when you're down in the dumps.
Absolutely.
And what do you think is the vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
Great question. I think one of the most important things that I've learned in my transition from being a student to a founder now is the importance of decision making. Previously in my life, I think I was very fortunate that I didn't have to make a lot of big decisions, and the big decisions I did have to make only really impacted me. They were things like what college I was going to go to, what job I was going to take over the summer, and they weren't really decisions that had a lot of gravity to them or a lot of impact if I were to make the wrong one. Sometimes it was even impossible to tell if I made the wrong decision. But when starting a company, you're faced with countless decisions each and every day, each of which you have no idea what the gravity is. There are a lot of times where a small decision on your product roadmap could greatly influence the success of your company. And it's almost intimidating knowing that, one, you're responsible for making all of those decisions, and two, the impact of those decisions will likely determine the success or failure of your company. So once I realized this, I put intentional effort into being more decisive and figuring out what different factors I need in my skill set before I make a specific decision. And this is something that I think my co-founder and I do really well. This can be a point of contention for co-founders, especially if when making decisions, they vehemently disagree. One thing that I think is really great about the relationship my co-founder and I have is that we tend to make decisions very differently, which leads to a great balance. I tend to make decisions really quickly and rely a lot on gut instinct, and he likes to do a bit more research and take more time to think every scenario through and every outcome. And between the two of us, I think we're able to make such great decisions because we have that balance. I learn a lot from the way he thinks, and I think he also learns a lot from the way that I think and make decisions. So not only has that impacted my professional life, but also my personal life. I feel a lot more confident making big decisions now. I feel a lot more conviction in the decisions I make. I think also with starting a company, the decisions you make are not just made in a vacuum. People will question them. Your investors, especially when you're fundraising, will question why you made the decisions you made. And it's helped me in turn question my own decision-making process in my personal life, which I think has just led to me making better decisions all around, at least I hope. So that's one thing that I think is really important. And the second I would say is just losing the fear that I had when I was younger. At some point, I think I realized that there's really not much to fear in terms of failure, especially in the situation I'm in. I was very fortunate that I had a lot of safety nets when I took this big chance on myself and on our company. I knew that I wanted to take one semester off of school, but it would be very easy for me to go back if for some reason the company did fail in that one semester. And having that safety net made me realize that there was nothing to fear. If anything, I would be set back 6 months in my career, but the growth that I would experience in those 6 months would probably propel me even further down the line. So I think, especially in my situation, I was very fortunate that there wasn't a lot to fear. And I had a family that was very supportive of the decisions I made. But I would also just encourage everyone else to think about what is the worst possible outcome. And chances are that worst possible outcome is not as bad as you think it might be.
Yeah, everybody listen up. Sharpening your decision-making tools and letting go of your fear can really help propel your career. I think that actually kind of rhymes, but actually, like, letting go of the fear kind of goes single-handedly alongside your decision-making skills, because you kind of earn that confidence, you build that self-confidence that really helps you make decisions. Because as a somewhat indecisive person, sometimes it's hard to think about the consequences that would come if you make a decision right at that moment. But just letting go of that fear and just doing what you think is right can really help you kind of identify what you're thinking of and how you are at your own stage in life.
Definitely.
Yeah. And because we have some additional time, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
Oh, I love that question. I would go back and tell myself that you don't have to be the best at everything. You just have to find the people that are best at different things. And what I mean by that is, in the very early days of starting a company, you and your co-founder, if you have a co-founder, do everything. So you're making decisions about 20 different domains, ranging from engineering, product, finance, go-to-market, strategy. And chances are you are not the best at any of those, let alone all of them. And I felt this pressure early on to be the best at everything, or as good as I could be. And what I realized is a lot more valuable is getting good at finding people who are the best in their domain. And I think that's why we've been able to build such an incredible team that I'm immensely grateful for, because my co-founder Liam and I thought very intentionally about the types of people we wanted to work with and what a stellar performer in their field would look like. And that's not just technical skills for engineering, you know, it's things like critical thinking. How do you think about meeting deadlines? What does your creativity look like? Are you confident with assuming a lot of responsibility and making decisions in areas where my co-founder and I might not be as knowledgeable? And I think that also goes hand in hand with what I said about being self-aware, that it's best to recognize things that you're not great at and find people who are incredible at those things, and then become comfortable with handing over the reins and giving them responsibility. And if it's the right person, it's a beautiful thing to see someone take on a role that you were once doing, and see them flourish and do it so much better than you ever could. And that's something that I really love about our team. I truly trust everyone in their respective roles and the decisions that they make. And because of that, I think we give our employees a lot of autonomy, which in turn helps them grow in their careers a lot as well.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to the connections, building your connections, relying on those around you to help propel yourself whenever you need help. Because as you said before, you know, being self-aware with what your weaknesses are and trying to build off of that, sometimes you need the help and support of other people to do it. And yeah, that's kind of really helpful.
For sure.
And how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
Great question. And it's definitely a combination of a few of the things that I mentioned: following my intellectual curiosity, being self-aware enough to recognize what are things I don't know that I should know at this point, and then using the resources available to me, like books, like articles, like the people in my network, to learn as much as possible. And really, my favorite way to learn is through conversations with other like-minded individuals. And it's great to have a network of founders that I can call up at any time and ask questions to. But I think what's also been really helpful and impactful to my role in a way that I didn't realize initially was being friends with people who are successful in domains that are outside of yours as well. I have friends who are in creative industries, friends who are founders in completely different areas, and I love catching up with them and having conversations with them, because even though what they're doing day to day might be significantly different than what I'm doing, there's a lot of overlap, and hearing about the way someone else works or the things that they're facing, the challenges that they're working on, provides a lot of perspective often, at least for me, and the things that I'm working on as well, and gives me a new way of looking at things, a new way of approaching problems. And a lot of times there are just a lot of analogies that I didn't expect. So I love having friends and other founders in my network that do something very similar to myself, but I also am really grateful to have people in my circle that are completely different from myself that I can learn from. So I think at the end of the day, everyone has something that you can learn from them, and seeking those people out and seeking meaningful conversation is always going to be worth your time.
Yeah, that's really well said. And do you have any quotes or mottos that you love to follow and would like to share?
Oh yeah, I love that question. I think the mottos I follow definitely change from time to time, and there are a number of them, but one that ties in really well with what I spoke about earlier about inspiration is that inspiration is perishable, so you should act on it immediately. And that's what I meant when referring to you don't have to wait for a certain time in your life or to reach a certain milestone to act upon the inspiration you have to start a company, to write a book, whatever it might be. But that's something I follow at a large scale, like the decision to start a company, but also at a smaller scale day to day. I always keep a notebook by my bed. And if I wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, I know that idea probably won't wait. Or if I wait to write it down in the morning, it's not going to be with the same velocity that I feel in that moment. So I very much try to stay in tune with myself. And when those moments of inspiration hit, drop everything I'm doing to follow that inspiration and see where it leads me.
Yeah, there's actually this one quote that if you get an idea, then you immediately have to write it down, otherwise you'll forget about it. And that's actually really true, because you tend to forget things that happen in your brain or day-to-day activities, but just writing it down or jotting it down somewhere can really help you remember it and actually build upon what you originally thought of.
Absolutely, I love that.
Yeah, and because we're done with the interview, do you have any last words for the audience?
I just want to say, number one, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to everyone that joined to listen. If anyone has any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me via email, via LinkedIn, whatever method of communication works best, and really hope that something I said could resonate with somebody who is listening. And thank you again for the opportunity.
And here are my 3 cents on this episode with Nicole. 1, follow your intellectual curiosity. Nicole emphasizes the importance of pursuing your true intrinsic desires and interests. She believes that following your intellectual curiosity and seeking opportunities for growth, whether they pertain to work or not, can lead to a fulfilling career path. 2, be self-aware and open to feedback. Self-awareness plays a crucial role in personal and professional growth. Nicole suggests becoming as self-aware as possible to understand your strengths, weaknesses, and areas where you need to delegate or seek help. Additionally, she highlights the importance of embracing feedback as a form of growth and being receptive to it. 3, take action and start anytime. Nicole debunks the myth that success in a career or starting a company requires meeting specific milestones or following a predetermined timeline. She emphasizes the importance of taking action and acting upon inspiration in the present moment, regardless of age or qualifications. She encourages individuals to start pursuing their goals and passions without delay. Thus, that concludes the episode for this week. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show, and it helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!